are listening to Dovetails with Deborah, a show about encouragement as we empower you with tales and testimonies of many who share what has happened to them as the Holy Spirit rests on them like a dove. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Dovetails. Our hope every weekend is to tease your ears, ignite your mind, heart, and hands to continue the work that Jesus started while in his 3-year ministry so long ago. I know there are many of you listening today who are still searching, still confused, and yet still wandering in hope of finding an easier path to a more peaceful life. I pray as you listen to my special guest testimony today that you'll realize the only way out is to follow the path that Jesus carved out for all of us when he died on the cross for mankind's sins. In short, if you have never encountered Jesus before, I hope you will be open to doing so here today on Dovetails. And if you like what you hear, be sure to join me every Sunday, 2:30 to 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time, as we seek to lift and empower you towards your passions and destiny. Now, if it's your first time listening into Dovetails, I am your host, Deborah, founder of DCL Ministries, a ministry which highlights random acts of kindness. Many of you would agree with me when I say that Jesus is a great communicator, and though he spoke in parables full of wisdom and understanding, it was also his actions towards those in need which continued to melt one's heart. That is what DCL Ministries is all about, our words lining up with our actions. So if you are enjoying my message, check out my website at www.dclministries.com to read some thought-provoking articles, Sunday devotionals with Putting on the New online magazine with Sherry Burbach, or enjoy our very own Writer's Corner, where we choose a ministry to highlight every month as they seek to fulfill the Great Commission. And if you're looking for a fun and feisty read, check out my book about God and movies titled Beyond the Face of the Movies. Sometimes in life, you must look beyond the surface, beyond the mask, and see what God is trying to show you underneath all the pain and persecution you might be enduring. So take a look at my book and see if you like what you read. But today, I'd like to share with you a snapshot of my new book titled The Women God Used, coming out later this year. Women are such fascinating creatures, and if you don't believe me, have a disagreement with one of them, and then let me know how you make out. Yes, I agree, we can be difficult, emotional, argumentative, assertive, bossy, dominating, but to our credit, we're also cute, cuddly, adorable, submissive, beautiful, compassionate, nurturing, supportive, and hardworking. I guess in the end, to save time, we are as a species complicated. But please tell me, who isn't? The women God used are rarely seen baking apple pie or reading a story to their children before bed. No, the women God used were clever, unconventional, strong-minded, and strategic. Today, these women would be described as the first you would pick to be on your board of advisors, but not the kind you want to meet in a dark alley after hours. These women are strong enough to drag you to the finish line, but the first to leave you if you are not pulling your weight. Yes, God handpicked complex and complicated women whose stories are not glamorous, with some of their methods being less than desirable. But they created new streams in the very dirty wasteland of sin. These biblical women forged a dynasty in biblical history and now have graced the pages of the greatest story ever told to prove it. If you were not aware of it, these are the women God used. And this book is for all the women that have had to adjust to life, the women that had to grow into their shells and become leaders, risk takers, rebels, parents to unruly children, widows, single mothers, prostitutes, entrepreneurs, and anything else to survive in this world corroded with sin. This book will allow its readers to see a snapshot of women that didn't take no for an answer when the pitfalls of life tried to bury them into the ground. These women triumphed beyond comprehension, and despite sin crouching at their door, chose unconventional ways and made it anyway. Therefore, God, we didn't waste our time with highlighting women in the Word that were content with church as usual. No, these were women who cried for a night and due to time constraints had to wake up and press on toward the goal to reach the finish line. Wretched, you say? I think not. For some of them might have been annoying, but they were also anointed. And many women in the Bible, they are complicated, but they were also called. And many might have appeared scandalous, and yet God could trust them with trouble. This book will walk its readers through the lives of unique women that were called into a ministry, a position in history that no believer or non-believer can ignore or ever forget. I challenge the position that these women were out of place or wretched, or on the contrary, they were the Sigourney Weavers of their time, the G.I. Janes of the Bible and the movers and the shakers in their hometown. These women feared the Lord and through his guidance changed the hands of time and biblical history. These complicated women, smothered in their own issues, problems, and struggles, rose up despite the adversity with a double-edged sword in one hand and the issues of their families in the other. These women paved a way for all who would dare to follow in their tumultuous footsteps, with a disclaimer, I might add, in bold letters, buckle up your baby because we are all in for a bumpy ride. Oh, yes, you're correct in thinking that these women were unconventional. But sin entering the world changed everything. So don't judge how these women made it through, for they're survivors just like you and just like me. These Bible warriors screamed out to anyone that would listen, I am woman, now hear me roar. Therefore, time to pay some respect to the women God used. The women God used is about extraordinary women who suffered and yet surrendered to God's process. This is why Dovetails is delighted to have mother and author of Understanding Your Value is Priceless, the wonderful Allison Johnson, with us today. Allison Johnson is an award-winning ladies minister, international speaker and trainer, author, social entrepreneur, business mentor, and philanthropist. She has over 20 years' experience in the education sector, and her passion is to assist in creating transformational changes in the lives of vulnerable and disadvantaged people and families. As a mother of four and having experienced the trauma of divorce, financial challenges, and overcoming hurdles in business, Allison has the kind of life story that can minister to the young and old alike. She has recently launched a new arm of her consultancy named School of Expression. The vision of the school is to create, equip, and release people into the public speaking industry. So sit back and relax as we unpack the life of the humbled and seeking woman of God, Allison Johnson. Stay tuned.
Don't go away. Stay tuned for more Dovetails with Deborah right after this.
Hi, I'm Sherry with the Lemonade Stand. As the weather warms, your risk of exposure to mosquito and tick-borne illnesses increases. Please keep these tips in mind when outdoors. Wear light-colored clothing, apply repellent, avoid high grassy areas, check yourself after returning, and remove any attached ticks promptly, only with a tick removal device or tweezers, avoiding any home remedies. This has been a community service announcement courtesy of the Lemonade Stand.
Hi, this is Chef Yari from YariCooks.com, and you're listening to Dovetails with my favorite host, Deborah, on PJC Media.
Has God called you to be a pastor or leader, but the men and women in your church won't let you speak because you're a female? Is the call to minister strong on your life, but you hesitate because you think the Bible tells women to be silent in the church? I'm Jory Micah, and I am here to tell you, sister, that together we can break the glass steeple. I fight and advocate for gender equality in the church, and there are others with me who are holding up the banner. Subscribe to my blog at jorymicah.com for interviews, commentary, and uplifting words to give you the motivation to answer the call to ministry. Together, we can break the glass steeple and inspire all of God's children, men and women alike, to answer the call to ministry.
We're back, and you're tuned in to Dovetails with Deborah, right here on WPJC 104.5.
Hello there, everyone. I'm so glad that you are tuning in to Dovetails. You can find us here every Sunday, 2:30 to 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Be sure to check us out and listen in. Be inspired. Be encouraged. And I'm so glad you're tuning in today because we have a wonderful, wonderful woman of God, Allison Johnson, that's going to be here with us sharing and unpacking, and we're going to be dissecting her testimony. So without further ado, please, please help me welcome to the show the wonderful, the devoted Allison Johnson. Welcome to the show, Allison.
Good afternoon, Deborah. How lovely to be with you today.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so excited to have you here. As I've already revealed
to be here.
As I've already revealed to you, I secretly want to be you very much. I want to be English so badly. We're going to have fun today. If you're listening in on our show, we have this wonderful woman. She's been through so much. And Allison, here on Dovetail, we really like to start at the beginning. And I think it's so important that listeners hear where your journey began. I saw a movie one time titled Vanilla Sky. And the line that they kept saying in the movie, the line that was a common thread in the movie was, "The sweet isn't as sweet without the bitter." And with that being said, I would love to start our conversation off with finding out whether you grew up in a family that acknowledged God.
Yeah, good place to start, always at the beginning. I would say I was really privileged. Probably I didn't understand as much when I was a child, but certainly having, you know, grown up into a home where my mum and dad loved God. So effectively, I was taken to church when I was a very young child. My father used to minister in our local church. So that's where, you know, life for me, that's where it began, that we would read the Bible together as a family. My father would definitely pray over the family, and we would attend church together.
I love that. I love that. I think it's always so important for people to hear where it is that you began. And, you know, as the listeners listen to your testimony, I want to highlight one thing that you said, because you said, you know, obviously your father, he ministered in the church.
Yeah.
But you said that you would read the Bible together. Talk to us about that a little bit more, because that's going to be very essential to you as we go into your testimony. But just in regards to reading the Bible together, you might not have understood even anything that you were reading, but God was doing something there. He was downloading something into you, you know, that you were probably meditating on and didn't even realize it. But talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think, you're absolutely right. And I will say, you know, at those times as a child, and, you know, the TV would be turned off and then it was time to sit down and my dad would pick a scripture out or go through a story. And, you know, there was times I, you know, as a child, as you do, or as I did, I was thinking, I'm sure I could be doing something else. You know, why do we have to keep on reading this book? And my dad used to be so excited about it. And in particular, you know, I can think in teenage years, he used to praise, this was my feeling, I used to think, why does this man pray so much? Why is it everything we do he has to pray about? And when I think, you know, when I reached a certain place in my own journey, I was thinking, oh, because my father has passed away now, but it was like, oh, to be like him. You know, he understood the power of prayer. You know, at the time when I was probably rolling my eyes and looking around, you know, not having any true comprehension of what the foundation that my dad was actually laying for me. And, you know, as a child, with childish understanding, you don't understand the power. And certainly as a teenager, you're thinking that the world's got perhaps other things to offer. Again, you just think, what is the point? You know, we're closing our eyes, we're saying these prayers, my dad's holding his hands up, he's calling on God. And, you know, when I think back now, it's almost embarrassing.
I love it because there's someone out there that's listening that they're going through the same thing right now. And they're just thinking, you know, it's almost like when you're in school and you're learning a subject in school and you're wondering, when am I going to use this in my life? Like, why am
Absolutely.
I tortured in class? And, you know, there's
yes.
that feeling sometimes, right? You grow up in a family, like you said, father's got his eyes closed. It's clearly meaningful to him. But you're sitting there
yes.
going, I could be outside playing. Like, why, you know? And I relate to your testimony so much because even as you start off talking about your family, you know, the family I grew up in, my parents did the same thing. My mother would make the
yes.
Bibles of the story. It was she was so excited. She would start to do commentation.
Yes.
She had the drum
yes.
roll when she was talking about Elijah. You know, she was like, and he walked. I was like, oh, you know. And I mean, I relate to that. And it's funny because,
yeah.
you know, when you go through tumultuous times in your life, it's that stuff that comes to mind. It's that
Absolutely.
Stuff that you find that, wait a minute, I think I was given a nugget, and I don't even know what
yes.
I was given. But now I can pull from the
yes.
toolbox that's been prepared in advance for me. So,
that's
Allison,
amazing.
With that
yes.
being said, you have a large testimony, so I'm going to leapfrog through time. And
Ooh.
we're going to leapfrog, yes, together, holding, we're going to do a quantum leap. And
yes.
I wanted to, the crux of your testimony really seemed to deepen when experiencing difficulties in your marriage. Now, yeah. I went through a divorce, and it was so. Again, I'm relating to you, and I have my pen out so that I can take notes on what you say today because I'm learning too. And I heard someone say this: going through a divorce is like a head-on car collision, but its victim
Absolutely.
Survives. If
yeah.
this is true, please describe what happened in your life and why outsiders looking in don't always see or understand the internal bleeding.
That's a very good analogy. When I think anybody, if you're in a marriage, you will understand when I say that obviously there's always going to be ups and downs. But there becomes a time or a season within a marriage where certainly I experience, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, that you inside begin to know that actually it's the beginning of the end. So nobody, well, with wisdom, is ever hasty or rash. A marriage never ends overnight, regardless of how it's portrayed in the media. It's actually a long time of things going wrong, things that aren't repaired, things that aren't sorted or resolved, and they're carried as almost aches and pains within the body. And every so often, they come bubbling up and they pour out into the marriage. So I could, as I sort of, I suppose, grew in my ministry, grew in my walk and closeness with God, I could see that, I suppose, your eyes are wide open, the veil is torn off, and you begin to view things, sorry, in different ways. I could begin to see the massive differences in perhaps moral values between myself and my husband and the way I would want the children to be raised, and in particular pertaining to being involved in church life and being a Christian, and my husband's desire, I think, to pull towards the world. So if you imagine we've gone from a situation, you know, a man who says he was raised in the church, a man who says that he knows God, to how many years later constantly coming into challenge or battle about what the church and God actually represented to him. Then you add in the mix of financial challenges. We had a young and large family. I was also at the time developing then to be self-employed, something he said he supported, but I was hasten to add, perhaps supported in words only, because as time went on, because there is all kinds of support, you know, there's verbal support, yay, go to, and then there's the actual physical support that needs to take place to underpin all of that, and very quickly I began to see that part wasn't really there. Mm-hmm. So we got into a stage of, again, I'm sure women and men, you'll identify with this, where it seems that you've got more angry, frustrated thoughts towards your partner than you do good. And as much as I ran to the prayer closet, I'll be exceptionally honest and say there came a stage where instead of praying for it to be repaired, instead of praying for the stuff I'd been praying for quite a number of years, I began to ask God, just please release me from this. And I would like to say, again, with exceptional honesty, there was no miraculous shaking of doors relief from that position. I had to remain. And that's perhaps the lesson that certainly I had to learn, that you don't just get out of things, and certainly not a marriage. And, you know, so I didn't get released. I didn't wake up and find I was somewhere else, much more credible. I was to stay in for still quite a while to learn to lean on God, learn to trust in his word and his promises, and also to grow as a woman, as a wife, and also as a mother. Shall I carry on?
I was going to say, I was, you know, when you're listening to someone of your caliber, you know, you get so in the moment that you're like, you know, I forget that I'm the host, so I have to continue on, right? Because I'm learning too, right? As you know, one of my guests said, you have to remain coachable. But you said
You
said something so wonderful, Allison. First of all, you said many things, but I need to highlight some things because I just know that there's people out there struggling and they're trying to understand what's going on in the midst. Mm. You know, you're speaking right now of looking back and what God has shown you. You've had time away from the tsunami of emotion. And I love that you talked about your eyes being open, the veil being torn off. Mm. And I think I want to hone in on something because I understand, you know, God's truth is different than humanity's truth. And so what happens is, like, I believe when we get closer, as you said, as you started to begin to draw near to the Lord, and I'm sure that was through the adversity, you realize that it's God's truth conforming to our reality. God's revealing to you what's really going on. And, you know, I want you to talk a little bit about, you know, when we go out and we're looking for a mate and we're trying to, you know, figure out who's right for us. I mean, as young adults, we have so many decisions to make. What kind of job to go for? What, you know, what am I going to major in school? And, you know, and then all of a sudden you're picking a mate. But I don't think we take enough time asking a lot of questions, because one thing that you said that really struck a chord with me, I don't have children, but those of you out there that do, you said that it was the decisions of how to raise them. And then all of a sudden you're talking with the mate and you realize you're not in alignment, really, right? You both said that you love God and that you're serving God.
Yep.
But people are on different courses with their relationship with the Lord and what they understand and what they don't. Can you talk to us about that?
Yeah, certainly. I believe that there is something. There is definitely something about the individual journey, and no two people, regardless of if it's your spouse or not, you don't travel necessarily at the same rate, and it's important to recognise that and acknowledge that within your marriage. What I would say is that as I grew, I mean, we came together. I would say I was saved. I would say at the time he was saying he, you know, believed in and was raised in a Christian family. Wanted to, you know, get closer to God, but that's not actually what panned out. And I think for a long time, I accepted that and went along with it. But then there comes a point in, as I said, when I started to step my, I suppose, spiritual walk up, you know, when I stopped perhaps walking and began to jog, then I began to realize that, hold on a minute, there is actually these different, you know, because you want everything to be all right. And I remember, I never forget, there was one evening I was really very upset with him, and we'd had an argument, and I went upstairs and I was in my bedroom and I was kind of huffing and puffing a bit, and then I started to pray and I was calling out to God that, you know, sort this man out, you know, sort this man out, what's going on here? And I tell you, I'm just being really honest with you, you know, it's just like, God, you know, look at him, get this sorted out. And in that, I tell you, I went from kind of, you know, huffing, puffing, striding around the bedroom until there was this stillness, this quietness, and I didn't hear anything. And I'm thinking, come on, God, you know, surely you've got an answer to this. Come on, you heard what just took place. And as I sat down on my bed in the absolute silence, I just felt Holy Spirit minister to me, and he said, you didn't ask me if he was the mate for you.
Wow.
You did not ask me. And this is who you chose. And there's going to be some work to be done. Now, I can tell you, that's not what I wanted to hear.
You're not alone.
Yeah. You know, I wanted to say, oh, Alison, you're so right. You know, oh, Alison, you did everything. And that was not the answer. So then when I recovered, I think, from the shock of that, I thought, well, did I? And I thought, well, actually, you didn't. You didn't. And this is what you've chosen, and you've gone into something where you didn't really seek God's face or voice on it. It's something so serious as this. And then when it got rough, it was like, well, you know, God, get me out of it. And he really showed me through the period of years that that's not quite how things work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not, because he honored that was my my decision.
Mm-hmm.
He supported me. I never felt forsaken by God, but there were lessons for myself to learn as a woman and as somebody that was sort of saying, well, actually, I'm not just, you know, I'm not the child still going on the basis of what my earthly father, the foundation that he'd provided. I was no longer just, you know, sitting in the pew at church. You know, I wasn't just one of the attendees. I was somebody that was actively getting involved in ministry and, you know, actively involved in church life and wanting my children to be raised a certain way and have certain values. And yet, on the other side, I'd made these choices that God wasn't just going to release me from them. You know, I'd made a commitment to God as well as my husband, and it was like, that's not how things go. And you know, this is a time for you to learn some things as well. It's a time for you to grow up in me. And I'm not saying it was nice, because it really wasn't nice. Who wants to, you know, when you're in the eye of a storm, where you're looking at the other person thinking, oh, emphatically it's them, but lovingly, in a supportive way, God will allow you a chance to look at yourself. Look at where you are with him. Look at who you're saying you are, who you want to be in him, and saying, we're going to have to go on a bit of a journey here. You want to be on the potter's wheel, and I'm glad to have you on there, but I'm going to have to refine you. I'm going to have to work with you. And you leave him to me, and you leave your business to me.
Oh, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Allison, oh my God. Were we separated at birth? I'm feeling like we were. I'm feeling some kind of way that, we were cut from the same cloth, because, you know, I love anyone out there, if you're listening, I hope you heard what Allison said. I think at the crux of that message, did you hear that in the midst of the potter's wheel, as she said, that there's an honesty that you must have within in order for God to continue to coach you? Now, I love what Allison said. I wish I could have said, Lord, sort him out. I love that.
Yes.
Sort him out, you know?
Sort him out.
but of course, in America, we say, do something. Do something. Yeah. That's what my mother would say, right? You know, but yeah. I love that, because, you know, this is what God, I believe, he did the same thing with me, Allison. He said the same thing. He said, you know what, Deborah, let's sit here and, you know, I know you want me to jump on the bandwagon of hating him because he did this. And didn't you see? But, you know, we rarely think of Corinthians that love holds no record of wrong, right? We never think of that. Love holds no record of wrong, but we are holding the record. Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Don't you remember 1998 when you shot me a look at the baseball game?
Yes.
It's like, oh, my goodness. but as you said, I love it. And those of you out there, maybe you're struggling in your own marriage. Maybe you're struggling with your children. Maybe you're struggling in the workplace. But God says this. When that person is ready to come to me, I will deal with them in what's going on with them. But now that I have your ear, I'm going to put a little light on you and let the Holy Spirit start to illuminate in you teach you, prune you. Here we are with the scripture, pruning you, correcting you, rebuking you, so that we can raise you up and fully equip you for God's work. Because this is
That's
God's
right.
work, part of it, right? That regenerative work of the Holy Spirit. So,
definitely.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are off to a bubbly start. We're going to take a really, really short break. I mean, I just hope that you're enjoying yourself this afternoon. We have the wise and the lovely and the devoted Allison Johnson. She is the author of Understanding Your Value is Priceless. We're going to take a very short break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Allison about this. Just when you think it can't get worse. We'll be right back.
Don't go away. Stay tuned for more Dovetails with Deborah right after this.
What's up, y'all? This is your bro, Robbie Newborn, Christian rap evangelist, ministry leader, and founder of GDT Walk It Out Ministries, a drug awareness, peer mentoring, and counseling ministry that spreads a message of hope to the hopeless, bringing the gospel to the street. I am a recovery specialist, intervention, drug prevention professional. So if you're looking for a counselor or counseling or someone to just talk to, please call me at 484-525-9832. My website is www.rdsjr.com. God bless you all from all of us at GDT, Walk It Out Ministries, and Team God. Peace and Christ love. Come on!
Jesus said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. Listen to our internet radio station at touchofgodradio.org, where you will find out your true identity in Christ. You can use the light that is within you to replace the darkness in this world. Go into all the world today with touchofgodradio.org.
We're back, and you're tuned in to Dovetails with Deborah right here on WPJC 104.5.
Oh, welcome, welcome, welcome back. We're having just a great, really great afternoon. We have the wonderful author, Allison Johnson. She's a motivational speaker and international speaker. Women's ministry is her thing. And if you've been tuning into our program today, you'll see as we continue unpacking her dovetail, unpacking her testimony, why everything is laid so heavily on her heart. Please, if you have questions for her, feel free. Come on, call us, 646-668-8485. Press 1 to be live on the air. And while we're interviewing Allison, you can find her on LinkedIn. You can find her on Amazon. You can find her on Facebook. You can find her. And we're going to help you. So prior to the break, we have just been talking with Allison about her upbringing. She grew up in a family that surely acknowledged God, parents that were passionate about the gospel, passionate about the word, hands in the air, praying. And, of course, as a child, she's looking around saying, I could be outside having a good time. Allison has gone through a tumultuous divorce. As we listened to her testimony, she said some riveting things, God being able to work with us, God being able to coach us, God being able to reveal to us in the times of uncertainty and misunderstanding, to be able to highlight where we went wrong, possibly within whatever circumstance that you're in, that we can't always blame it on the next person or the person that we think wronged us. With that being said, we want to dive into something. Allison, you said something in your testimony that was just so profound to me. You said, just when you think it can't get any worse, it does. And it can. And it can.
Yeah.
Please share with us the sequence of events which surfaced about your sister.
Right. So if I bring you forward to a period in 2014, and by then I was separated. I was then raising four daughters on my own and without any financial support. My business at that time was struggling also financially, and that meant that the impact was that my housing was also in jeopardy as I was struggling to make regular monthly payments. So it was about as bad, I think, if you look on the scale of things that can go wrong in life and that cause you stress, I think I was ticking off probably all of the boxes, at the top definitely top three or four. And, you know, as I said, you have that feeling and you think, well, you know, it can't get any worse than this. But it did. It absolutely did. And it was so unexpected. I remember one particular Monday, I got a phone call. You know, in that thing they say, you know, in a bat of an eyelid, things can change. Mm-hmm. I got received news that my eldest sister, who at the time was living with her husband in Grenada, who's also a Christian, was unwell. And would have to go to hospital for tests. That's all we were told on that Monday morning. Now, you know, there's something that sometimes the simpler the message is, the more concern it brings you.
Because
it just seems so odd that a phone call would come that she was unwell. So that became an inverted commas for me. What did that actually mean? And would have to go to hospital for tests. But at the time, that was all the information that we'd actually been given. So we didn't know what was wrong with her, didn't know the extent of anything, or didn't know if it had just, you know, come up. Sorry, and that's kind of what we were left with. By the Wednesday, I'd been liaising with my nieces, my sister's children, who live over in England, and the Tuesday, it was still that we didn't know anything more. But by the Wednesday, my eldest niece then announced, and it literally was an announcement, that she was going over to see her mum. So I, again, you know the internal things, you know the million questions you want to ask, and I was thinking, well, what's changed from Monday and until here we are on the Wednesday? You've actually booked your flight, you know, you're telling us you're leaving at this particular time on the, you know, you're going to be flying over. And again, it was the question, well, what's actually going on? What's wrong? And she just said, well, mum is quite unwell. Again, the simplicity of such a statement. But we still didn't know anything more. When my brother, who became quite cross, was kind of saying, well, what actually, when you're saying unwell, it was that she was going for a series of tests. But we didn't know, again, at that time, what for. So that was day three. On the Thursday, and it was quite late in the night, my brother rang me, again, that lives over here, and said that there's some bad news. So this is now day four, and I said, well, what's the bad news? What, you know, what does she have? So he said that she had breast cancer.
Yeah.
So, you know, you go silent on the phone, and I'm thinking, you know, you're trying to process, well, what does this actually mean, breast cancer, okay? And I think you're trying to contextualise it, you're trying to, I don't know, just pull all the information together that before Monday, everything was well, this is in my timeline, Monday, you know, she was unwell, and here we are now Thursday, and then the upshot was that actually it was stage four breast cancer.
Oh, wow.
So, when he said this, I remember thinking, oh, okay, stage four breast cancer. And I'm saying, oh, so what's happening now? And what treatment is she having? And what's going on? And, you know, are we going to go over? And it was all these kind of practical things. But when I came off the phone and I thought, stage four, why? What does that actually mean? And, anyway, I came to find out that stage four usually means that you're kind of at the end of the process. There's not a lot they can do for you. So on that Friday morning, I decided that I was going to go up to my brother's home. I felt that, who lives about 200 miles outside of London, and I thought I had to, you know, like that child, he's my older brother, and I felt I had to be with him. Our other brother was away in Jamaica at that time, but due to come back on the Sunday morning, and I was feeling like, no, I just need to be nearby. I didn't want to be on my own, you know, I wanted to be with my brother. So I went up on the Friday night, and by then we were told that there was no point to attempt coming over. She was barely conscious now and was actually being kept sedated on morphine.
Oh, wow.
So the Friday night, you know, we stayed up and just, you know, sort of reminiscing, really, about being children and about how life had been and just talking about our own lives and where we were at in our own lives. And my brother, who whilst he believes in God, is not saved, and he said to me, you know, surely God's going to pull her through this. come on, sis, what are you saying? You need to pray on this. You know, she's going to survive. You've got to reassure me.
Mm.
And I thought at that time, if I'm really honest, I thought, I don't know if that's going to be the outcome. And I didn't want to, in that sense, sort of say to my brother, oh, yeah, God will definitely, because I thought I need to actually pray into that. I need to be certain that what I tell my brother, because whatever I say to him, that's what he's going to accept and or believe. And he was like, you know, that God's got to do this. So I said, okay. So I felt on top of the weight of the news, I think I have to call it a dawn, a kind of a reality was rising up in me that actually my sister could pass away. And then here was my brother sort of questioning Christianity and what God was going to do right in the midst of all of that. And I remembered on the Saturday night him saying to me, I don't know. I've questioned for a long time about God, and I know how Dad raised us. But, you know, now I'm thinking, he said, if God comes through on this, he said, I'll have to rethink my Christian walk. Mm. So I asked the question, well, supposing she passes away, and he said, well, I don't think I'll understand that, and I don't know if I'll forgive God for that. And he said, so what about you? So I said, God is God, and God stands in the worst of circumstances as well as the best. So I went off to bed with an exceptionally heavy heart. I hadn't at that time, because of the situation, even, you know, spoke. My brother knew I was separated, but I hadn't got into my concerns about my housing, you know, all the other things that were weighing my heart down at that time. Anyway, so I went to bed very heavy-hearted. I really prayed it out, and, you know, I said, Lord, just let me know. Which way is it going to go? This is what I need to know. I need to be prepared, because I want to be strong for my brother, and I want to stand up for what I believe in. So, but just let me know which way this is going to go. And that night, I had a dream. I call it, upon reflection, a vision, and God answered my prayer, because he showed me what was going to take place. But through, I have to say, an absolutely beautiful dream. I've never seen colours like it in a dream. Never, ever have I experienced such a vivid dream, such colours, such peace. And when I woke, I knew the answer. So I went downstairs, and my brother was already down there, having not slept much. And he said, oh, you know, sis, you know. And again, he said to me, have you prayed about it? And I said to him, okay. I said, Paul, this is not going to make it. She's going to go to be her maker. And he shouted at me. He said, how dare you? You know, why would you say such a thing? You're giving up, and this matters. Is this what you're praying for? And I said, no. And I said, I've had a dream, and this, I'm trying to help you here. And just as we were talking about it and he calmed down, the phone rang. And and the call came from our brother-in-law to say that indeed she'd passed away.
That quickly, that fast.
Yeah. From what we came to later find out is that we were only told on that Monday, but in fact they had found out before. Now, my sister and her husband, they made their own decisions around her care and obviously about when they would actually let the family know. So whilst we had, you know, literally it was 7 days. Sorry. She'd been unwell before that. But as I said, we have to respect, and this is what I believe, that we have to respect that those are the decisions they made as husband and wife. So for us, it was a massive shock, and because the timeline, I mean, it was just, you know, I couldn't believe, you know, you keep playing it back in your mind. Well, on Monday I heard, today's Sunday. You know, it just really didn't make any sense. But I still had to say to my brother that, you know, that God was still there. And in the midst of this absolute, what felt like hell, that God was going to support us all. He was going to carry us all through and keep us, sustain us. Even in the midst of things that other people would tell you, or how can you believe in God at a time like this? But I know my sister loved God. I know she would have been at peace. I know that she was taken out of the pain that she was experiencing, that man could not sort out, that morphine cannot cope with. And he took my sister home.
Praise Jesus.
And her husband, you know, my brother-in-law, again, an on-fire Christian, and he said that God has been good to them and faithful for the whole of their life together.
Allison, you, I want to thank you for your transparency. I want to thank you for, you know, I think sometimes when tragedy comes, no matter how many years have passed, you know, there's things, your memory starts to regurgitate that, you know, has possibly gone dormant. And what an interesting dynamic that you were going through. I mean, you know, you're already going through the divorce. You're still in the throes of that. And it's just crazy how sometimes in life, and anyone out there, if you're, you know, listening to this, and right now you're in the throes of your own life and there's stuff hitting you from every side. By the time one hit comes, another hit's coming after you. And Allison, I have to say, as I prayed about you, your testimony before this show, Job kept coming up. And, you know, it's very interesting because even some of your responses mimic his heart posture as his answers. And any of you out there that you're listening, you know, you're being challenged right now to wonder, is God who he says he is? And he is. And as you listen to Allison, you're hearing and you're hearing her testimony, and how could he be if my loved one is gone? And, you know, one thing I want to say to people out there listening, through your lifetime, and you have to build your faith. It doesn't come overnight. God allows things to enter into your life to slowly move you along. You can't go from not believing who God is, not talking to him, not spending any time with him, and then go to trying to embark on something that is about to take you under, and then put a demand on God that if you don't do this, I will turn my back. And I think the reason why I came up with Job in my spirit is because this is what happened to Job, that the calamities of life, much like Allison, the calamities, the financial problems, the livelihood being threatened, the family life being threatened, the marriage being threatened, my future being threatened, what I think about myself is being threatened. And at the moment of the heartache, what happens? His wife comes to him and says, are you still trying to hold on to your integrity? Curse God and die. And I want to encourage anyone out there, make no mistake, when the calamity comes into your life, the enemy wants you to do exactly what the wife said, to curse God and die, because the enemy wants you to turn your back on the only
That's one that
right.
can actually help you.
That's
but,
right.
But if you understand what Allison did, she didn't get into that argument that perhaps her brother was in with the Lord. She just walked and witnessed it. Her, she did what she needed to do. And what was, I need to regurgitate what Allison said. She said, I love it. God stands in the worst of times. And I'm going to read to you what Job said to his wife. He replied after his wife said, curse God and die, you are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? What I want to encourage you on, it, which is what Allison did in her moment. See, what happens, we have to prove to the world. We have to, and I'm not saying, like, you know, that's the battle all the time, but it is he that's greater in you than he in the world.
That's
whatever
right.
you're going through right now, whatever addiction that's happening, you could be vomiting up your lunch and trying to be perfect for the world. You could be striving to be a CEO. But I'm telling you, when the chips fall, and they will, because that's life.
when yes. the enemy has his sights on you and he puts you in the eye of the storm, it is at that moment all the things that you've been meditating on, all those sweet, special moments that you spent with the Lord. I want to bring back yes. up the Bible studies that Allison's father was laying the foundation and getting excited about the stories of the Bible. It's those things yes. that help us when the calamity comes. What happens yes. is what people are doing, you're focusing on the wrong things. You are when you are focusing on the boyfriend that didn't want to date you. You're focusing on the job that you didn't get. But you know what? When calamity comes, yes. it's the word. It's the loins yes. out of truth that's going to help you, not anything else.
Right.
And that's what right. Allison leaned on. Oh, Allison, I'm inspired by you. I'm inspired by you. I want to ask, you had this, I wrestled with the relationship between you and your brother because it just, that's another heartbreak, I think. It just felt like to me another heartbreak. And I don't know, is the relationship better between you and your brother? I mean, there's that distance perhaps. I don't know. Talk to us a little bit about that.
I suppose if I put it in a kind of nutshell, the due to finances, etc., the challenges that I was facing, I couldn't attend that funeral because at the same time my daughter was due to go off to university, and let's just say my brother hasn't understood that decision. And
okay.
So there is still a distance between us. And, you know, what I would like to say, because, you know, sometimes we fall out with family and, you know, there's challenges that come in between brothers and sisters, and you might be out there listening thinking, you know, oh, my brother or my sister did this, or whoever it is in your family. But instead of pushing and fighting, and because I know he's got his own grieving process that he was working with at the time and his own challenges about his relationship with God and who God was to him. And I decided to take a step back from that, and I leave it in God's hands. And what's happened when I made that decision, then peace came in. So I don't have to worry about it. I don't feel anxious about it. I love my brother. You know, and I know that a time will come, and we will you know, it'll be repaired, it'll be restored. But there is no hurry. We get too caught up in you know, man's concept of timelines, and God's timing doesn't work like that. And God's doing whatever He needs to do, perhaps in either one of us, and when it's the right time, because that love can't die. So I have peace over my brother. I have peace. About that relationship.
I love that, you know.
Yeah.
I love that because, you know, sometimes people are looking for a fancy answer, but I love that
yeah.
you're allowing the whatever needs to be done, you're allowing the room for that.
Yeah.
And I think that's beautiful. It's crazy that we're coming to the end of our program. I feel like I just blinked my eye. But I want to take a moment, maybe take 2 minutes or so. If you could talk about, you won an award. You are nominated and won the Wise Woman Awards. I mean, yes, we go through things as Christians, but God poured some beautiful things on you. Take a moment to just talk about that in your ministry.
Okay. Well, I was still am head of a women's ministry for, got to give a big shout out for Rhema Church London and my fantastic pastors, Pastor Martin and Sandy Phelps. Just a big hello and shout out to you guys, and thank you for everything that you've, you know, through God's word allowed me to fulfill in the church. So I'm, you know, heading up the ladies ministry, and I'm doing workshops, and I'm still doing all of this, even in the midst of the trials. I'm still holding on to the promises that God had given me, and to also get on with the work that he'd given me to do. So dry your eyes and still get on with that. And I remember towards the end of 14, I was delivering a course called Christ-Centered Female, which is like a female-centric Bible study group that I run and through the church. And I remembered one evening coming in, and I remembered Holy Spirit saying to me that the season's about to change. the season is about to change, and there's some things that are going to come into you. And I remember thinking, whoa, oh, right, okay. I wonder what these things are going to be. So, you know, you get that little girl excitement. Oh, I wonder what it's going to be. I wonder what it's going to be. And I remember the last evening, I run the course for 3 times a year. So it's February, June, and September. And I remembered it was the end of that particular year. So I think it was year 2. And I came home that evening quite late, tired, and I was going to eat. And I thought, oh, let me just have a quick spy at my emails. And I saw this email from the Wise Women Awards, saying that you've been nominated for an award, Woman in Ministry. So I kind of laughed, thinking, what is this thing? What's this? You know, is this one of those prank emails? I haven't got time for this. And then I thought, okay, let me go back to the top again. Let's see who it's really from and just have a proper read. Well, I tell you, my fork dropped out of my mouth because I thought, this looks real. This looks real. So I thought, I'm not going to answer till the morning. And I thought, who would have nominated? What is going on? So I rang my eldest daughter and I said, hey, guess what? This really weird thing's happened. I've come in, blah, blah, blah. There's this email. So she started to laugh and I said, well, why are you laughing? Well, I know. I said, what do you know? I said, what are you talking about? So she said, oh, yes, we know. Yes, we've been nominated. I was contacted by this person. I was done by that. I was like, what are you talking about? She said, no, it's real. Don't delete it. You need to respond.
Oh, wow,
so,
wow.
So there it was. And then in the March, I believe it was, of 2015, I went along and about 15 people came along, and my family, my friends, and supported me. And because I was nominated in that category, so there were 3 finalists. So I got to the finalist stage and I thought, really? And I remember as I sat there, I remembered thinking, all of a sudden, you know, it came back to me, the season's changed. This must be yours. The season has changed. And then when they read the category, because it was one of the ones towards the very end of the ceremony, so we're waiting through every category, and the woman read through, and then she said, Alison Johnson! And the biggest scream, I was like, oh, my God! there is no way. So when I went up, I didn't go into the full story, but I said that, you know, I'd been through the valley, and that the Lord had told me the season was about to change, and, you know, I just thank God that I was able to stand there in that joy. I have to say, a joyous, you know, that you're deliriously happy, that I could actually tell people what God had done through the women's ministry, because obviously they spoke about that, and I was able to say, you know, even through the midst of it all, if you just hold on to God, He will make some things happen that you cannot even, you know, they say, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. And it's not about winning an award for kind of in a selfish kind of way or an arrogant way. It's for what it represents, that what the Lord can do, what He does, that in out of nothing, that within less than 4 years, a women's ministry, just under 1,000 women, that there would be conferences with 300 attending, that marriages would be saved, and, you know, illnesses healed, and just these suddenly things happening where women were coming forward with testimonies. I mean, the goodness of God.
I think you're right.
God.
Oh, Alison,
the power of Him.
Amen, amen. No, I mean, just all those of you out there, I want to cry because we're at the end of our show, but I hope that you heard what she said. Hold on, hold on, yeah. Hold on. I want to thank formally Alison Johnson for being on the show today. Please, please check her out on LinkedIn and on Facebook and on Amazon, where you can purchase her book. Please, please, it's such a wonderful read to be inspired. Women ministry that she is trying to do. Understanding Your Value is Priceless. That's the title of her book.
Yes.
I want to end this program just reading a quick blurb from the yearly devotional called Jesus Calling. I'm in love with this book, so I tend to read, of course, an entry every day. It's by Sarah Young. And this is what it says. Trust me and don't be afraid, for I am your strength and your song. Do not let fear dissipate your energy. Instead, invest your energy in trusting me and singing my song. The battle for control of your mind is fierce, and years of worry have made you vulnerable to the enemy. Therefore, you need to be vigilant in guarding your thoughts. Do not despise this weakness in yourself, since I am using it to draw you closer to me. Your constant need for me creates an intimacy that is well worth all the effort. You are not alone in this struggle for your mind. My spirit living within you is ever ready to help in this striving. Ask him to control your mind. He will bless you with life and peace. And until next time, please keep sharing your dovetail, and God bless you.
Thanks for tuning in. And to listen to this show and other shows, visit the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/PJC Media or download Stitcher on your mobile device so you can tune in to next week for another Dovetails with Deborah.